Without error, without flaw, without problems. Amen. Amen. There was nothing lost in translation. The God who was smart enough to take 1,600 years to put it in writing, and 40 human writers to pin it down, if you believe Paul wrote Hebrews like I do, the same God is able and thank God, smart enough to preserve it down through the centuries. And thank God. And it's not the closest one to the originals. Quit saying that. Closest one to the originals. How disrespectful. Dare not a fundamentalist call himself a Bible believer and make a statement such as that. And I'll tell you something else while I'm mad about it. I'm tired of hearing people say it should have been said, or he should have said, or what he really meant was. How disrespectful. Somebody rebuked me one time and said, You focus too much on the Bible. Worship Jesus. That book's not Jesus. He just proved he hadn't been reading his Bible. John said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, you hold in your hand the only thing we have. Hallelujah. Thank God for the book. I love my Bible. Thank God for the Bible. Billy Graham. Now, you probably got mad at me right there. Billy Graham made the statement in 1957 that when I proclaim this book as God's Word, he said, there's a power that I never had before. Amen. Ronald Reagan, I about made some of you mad right there. Best president in my lifetime. Don't get me political and everything. Amen. 72% of Americans thought so. You ain't never seen numbers like that. He rebuked a news reporter for comparing it to the words of man. He said, I never have read your column, sir, and had it breathe on me like I have this King James Bible. Hallelujah. Thank God for the book. Aren't you glad you got a Bible? Glad I've got a Bible. Would you take your Bible, please? Book of Genesis, chapter number 12. Genesis, chapter number 12. Thank you for the good hospitality. Our pastor's not here tonight, but I want to say to Merville Baptist Church, thank you for your hospitality, your kindness, and your care of us. Thank you. The meals have been wonderful, and the good room that you put us in. Thank you, and for being nice to us. Amen. And I apologize if you had to sit next to one of my kids. It's not the first time they've been to church. Just your church. Amen. I appreciate Sister Kristen's testimony about them road trips. Amen. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing I like better than getting five young'uns in a minivan and driving for 10 hours. Amen. Genesis chapter number 12. If you enjoyed the good singing, say amen. Isn't church a good idea? It's God's idea. It's a good idea. Didn't Brother Mike do good moderating? I appreciate Brother Mike stepping in and pinch hitting for Brother Dale. Amen. Thank God. I'm in Genesis. Here we are. Genesis chapter number 12. I want you to remain seated while we reverence the reading of God's Word. How you like that? Isn't that a strange turn of events? I just don't want you to miss nothing that I read. I don't mind if you check your Facebook status while I'm preaching. Well, really I do. I really do mind. If you play with your phone, you better be recording me while I preach. Amen. And if you do, remember this. The camera adds 80 pounds or something like that. I don't want you to miss anything out of this book. And I want to read some. Genesis chapter number 12. I want to begin reading in verse number 6. Read down to about verse number 9. Jump over into chapter 13. And read a few more verses. You follow along as we read in the Word of God. Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Jump over with me in the chapter number 13, and we'll pick up our reading in verse number 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. I want you to skip down with me to verse number 14. We'll finish the chapter. The Bible said in verse number 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Let's stop reading right there in verse number 18. Bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, that you've walked amongst us. And I pray, oh God, that you've been pleased in everything said and done. And Lord, I pray that you'd bypass the feeble preacher and help me tonight. Lord, you know and I know and they know that there'll be no preaching unless you do it. And oh God, in my weakness, I appeal to your strength. Help us now. Take this word that we've read tonight and write it upon the table of our heart and say something to your people, and we'll thank you for it and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm interested tonight in this man by the name of Abraham. I have for some months now been consumed with the idea of a man having a relationship with God. Somebody ought to holler amen right there. You can't open up the pages of your Bible without realizing that God intends to have a relationship with man. From the very first pages of Holy Writ, we find that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. Somebody say amen. God walked with Adam. And the Bible said that God walked with Enoch And he was not, for God took him. And the Bible said that God walked with Noah. And aren't you glad that he did? Somebody say amen. But here we have in the life of Abraham the details of a man that has a relationship to God. Somebody say amen. And in James, and I'm fascinated by this particular verse in the life of Abraham. In James chapter number 2 and verse number 23, the Bible said he was called the friend of God. Now, I can understand why Abraham would want God to be his friend. Why, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the best friend that you'll ever have. He's a friend that'll be there in the midnight hour. He's a friend you can call on in a time of need. He's a friend, hallelujah. And if he's your friend, by you've got a friend, somebody say amen. I was reading the life of Charles Bradley Templeton. And some of you may not know who that is. How many of y'all have heard of Billy Graham? Billy Graham was an evangelistic member of a team that went out and did citywide campaigns. Everybody knows who Billy Graham is. But Charles Templeton was the most eloquent of the two preachers. He was the one that was the most talented. He was the one that was most sought after. He was the one that was the most likely to turn the world upside down with the gospel. Charles Templeton, this preacher of the gospel. He had some questions about what was going on. He had questions and he didn't understand everything in the Bible. And let me say to you that there ain't nobody that understands everything in the Bible. I know preachers that's been doing this for 60 years that don't understand everything in the Bible. But honey, there's enough of it that you do understand to keep you occupied till rapture. Somebody say amen. He entered into Princeton in 1948 to critically study the Christian faith. And after leaving Princeton, he became an atheist. He called himself an agnostic. You're interested in knowing what the difference between an atheist and an agnostic is? About 10 foot of rope. Somebody say amen. And he didn't believe in God. He said he didn't believe in God. He abandoned the Christian faith. And he wrote a book called Farewell to God, My Reasons for Leaving the Christian Faith. Amen. You imagine what damage that man did in his lifetime. But he became old. And that's what everybody does. Say amen. And he got sick. That's what everybody does. And he lay on his deathbed. And a preacher went by to see him and interviewed him and asked him some questions. He maintained his atheistic view and that he did not believe the creation account in the book of Genesis and various parts of the Word of God. And that man asked him, said, "But tell me, sir, what do you think about Jesus?" And he said that his body language changed. And he got his shoulders dropped. And tears welled up in his eyes. And this atheist preacher said, "He's the best friend that I have ever had. And I miss him." He burst into tears, honey. I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus has ever been your friend, you know that you've got a friend indeed. Somebody say amen. I don't understand why Abraham would want God to be his friend. But what I'm interested in tonight is that God called Abraham his friend. Amen. And if it is possible tonight, child of God, for a man to become the friend of God, then I am interested in that position. Can I get a witness? I'm trying to be real smart and everything, but I ain't. Amen. You can enjoy a preaching. I'm gonna have to do myself. You come on with me tonight. If anybody, if you can become the friend of God, I want to. I'd like for God. I want you to know tonight that I consider him my friend. He's been there for me. There's never been a time when he was not there for me. He's never left me nor forsook me. I'm glad to say he's my friend. But I'm interested in God calling me his friend. Amen. And there's a reason why Abraham was the friend of God. And I believe that we find in the verses that we've read tonight, I believe we find one of the reasons why Abraham was the friend of God. He lived a life on the altar. Somebody say amen. Now you understand tonight that this relationship that Abraham had with God was a relationship that was before Moses climbed up Mount Sinai and came back with the regulations of the law. This was a relationship that was not based on the rules and regulations of organized religion. Somebody say amen. I appreciate the fact that he was a man who lived life on the altar. And Abraham, everywhere he went, the Bible said that he walked with God. And he never was satisfied with anything down here. He was in search of a city whose foundations, praise God, amen. He was in search of a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Abraham traveled this world as a pilgrim and a stranger. And he never tied stakes down too deep down here. But he was always interested in finding a place. Old John the Revelator saw it coming down from God out of heaven. And it had 12 foundations. Somebody say amen. That's the one Abraham was searching for. He was looking for a place. And everywhere Abraham went in his travels, the Bible said that he built there an altar to the Lord. Now you know what the altar is. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place to talk to God. Somebody say amen. I appreciate those of you that got up and got out of your pew and came down and knelt down here in this altar. I like it when folks come to the altar. Somebody say amen. I like it when folks go to the altar. And I believe you ought to have an altar. I believe in a church house that has altars. I believe you ought to have an altar at your home. Somebody say amen. There's three types of prayer mentioned in the Bible. First of all, there's closet prayer. He said when you pray, enter into the closet and shut the door and pray to the Father in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There's closet prayer. I think there ought to be somewhere where you get alone with God and you can tell God things that can't you tell nobody else. You tell God things you can't tell no one else. There ought to be some closet prayer in our life. And then he mentions church prayer. He said where any two agree as touching anything shall be done. Amen. That's a covenant prayer right there. That's where you get somebody that you got some confidence in and you hook up together and say, help me pray. When you call on somebody and say, I got a need and I need you to help me pray. Sometimes you need some help praying. Somebody say amen. And it's good every now and then to get somebody by the hand and bring them down to the altar and say, I need you to help me pray about this or that. And then there's church prayer. There's prayer when a church prays together. He said, where two or three will gather in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. And there's something special about when a church prays together. I like altars at the church house. I like altars at my house. I like altars. Amen. Are y'all with me tonight? I'm going to try to get, I hope I can say it like I feel it. Abraham's life was a life that was lived on the altar. And I want to preach a little while. Along those lines and give you four reasons you ought to come to the altar. Four reasons to make a trip to the altar. First of all, notice with me in chapter number 12 and in verse number 7. The Bible said, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. In chapter 12 and verse number 7, the Bible said that Abraham built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And here's what God says to Abraham, unto thy seed will I give this land. You understand that Abraham had no children, that Sarah, his wife, was barren. And up to this point, they had not even dreamed of. Probably had already given up. Abraham was 75 years old when he came out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. He had already passed the time. He had already given up hope on ever having children. But here the Bible said God comes to him and says, you're going to have a child. He said, I'm going to give you seed. And I'm going to give that land to your children. And so first of all, there's time to come to the altar when there's a promise concerning our family. If there's ever been a need in our day for family altar, it's preacher right now. Honey, you can't wait till you get to church on Sunday and pray and expect your children to turn out for God. You better pray with them at home. They better hear mama praying. They better hear daddy praying. There be some praying going on at the house. Abraham was concerned about his children. There was a promise concerning his children, concerning his family. Amen. Now, those of you that are parents and grandparents, and if you don't have any children at all, there are some that still count on you to pray for them. Somebody say amen. I remember when Sister Vicki was about 4 months pregnant with our first child. We got five. I was making sure. Amen. Five. She's 16 now. And so this was here a while back. And I'd never had a daddy. I never know who my daddy was. I never met him. I grew up without one. Had a couple of stepdads, and I'd have traded you for a good coon dog. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I had no idea what a father ought to be. Or if anything, a very warped sense of what a father should be to his son. I remember sitting in that doctor's office when they put that monitor on my wife and found that baby's heartbeat. I got weak in my knees. Reality kicked me in the face. And I realized that there's somebody coming in this world that's going to depend on me. There's somebody that's going to be looking to me. There's somebody that I'm going to be responsible for other than myself. It was time for old Bud to grow up. It was time for him to get responsible. And I got weak in the knees. I didn't know how to be a daddy. I wanted to be the best one I could be. And so I got on my knees before God. I told the Lord, you'll have to help me. If you're going to give me children, then I want to raise them up in the love and admonition of the Lord Jesus. Honey, somebody say amen. If you don't pray for your kids, nobody else will. Honey, you better get concerned about your children. Family altar. First time we find Abraham building an altar is when he had a promise concerning his family. Amen. Genesis chapter number 18. Here's why what God said about Abraham. He said, I know him. Verse number 19. I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment. You know why God picked old Abraham? Because he knew something about him. Amen. He knew that Abraham would train his children in the way that they should go. Somebody say amen. And he built an altar because for the first time in his life, God gave him a promise of a child. Amen. Are y'all excited about a family altar like I am? This ain't camp meeting preaching, is it? Well, hang in there. Don't go to bed on me. Number two. First of all, it's time to go to the altar when there's a promise concerning our family. Number two, look at verse number 8. Chapter 12 and verse number 8. When there's a prayer concerning our faith. In verse number 8, the Bible said he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel. And pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord. And called upon the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. God didn't appear to Abraham in verse number 8. But it was Abraham that initiated the conversation. In verse number 8. In verse number 7, God came to him and he built an altar. But in verse number 8, he built an altar to call upon the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen. And the Bible said he had Hai on one side and Bethel on the other side. Here we've got a man who's come to the crossroads of his life. Bethel means the house of God. And he's got the house of God on one side. And Hai means a heap of ruin. And so he's standing in the middle of a crossroads. And he's got to make a decision. Is he going to go by the way of the house of God? Or will he go to the heap of ruin? And that's the only two choices that there are. Either you go by way of the house of God, or your life will become a heap of ruin. You've got two choices, honey. You either follow God, or there's a life of ruin and wreck that's awaiting you. And here we find a man that's come to the crossroads of his life, and he builds an altar unto the Lord. And your Bible said that he called upon the name of the Lord. Do you know what happens when a man calls on the name of the Lord? Somebody say amen. The Bible said in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad a lost man will get saved when he calls on the name of the Lord. Somebody that's lost will get saved. Amen. A lost man gets saved when he calls on the name of the Lord. A bad man becomes a good man when he calls on the name of the Lord. A blind man becomes a man that can see. Somebody say amen. A dead man's raised from the dead. A hungry man is fed. Somebody say amen. When you call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes there's coming decisions to make. You need to have that altar. Amen. It's time to go to the altar when there's a prayer concerning our faith. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You pray about everything. Amen. You pray about what job to take. It ain't whether or not you can get more money. Amen. That more money might lead you away from God. Amen. You youngins better pray about who you're going to walk down the aisle with. Somebody say amen. Because the right one can make you, and the wrong one can break you. Somebody help me right there. Hey, you ought to pray about it. You ought to pray about everything. Pray about everything. Amen. Pray about everything. Here Abraham stands at the crossroads of life, and he has to make a choice. And you'll come to the time in your life, you've probably already been there, and it won't be the last time when you'll have to make a decision whether you're going to follow God or go the other route. Amen. Amen. And so it's time to go to the altar when there's a prayer concerning our faith. Notice with me in chapter number 13 and verse number 14. Let me give you a little info about what's gone on so far. We skipped several verses in chapter 12. In chapter 12 and verse number 10, the Bible said there was a famine in the land of Canaan. A grievous famine. The Bible said, and Abram went to sojourn in the land of Egypt. The Bible plainly says in Isaiah 31:1, woe unto them that go down into Egypt for help. Brother Edward quoted a while ago, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the Father, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Honey, Egypt is a picture of the world. And we find in the life of Abraham, him leaving Canaan, he got out of the will of God and he went down to Egypt. Tried to fix things himself. Amen. The Bible said that he sojourned in the land of Egypt. He left Canaan land. I'd like to tell you that Abraham never made a mistake. But that's not the case. He left the will of God anytime. I'm going to say this to you tonight. The will of God in the Old Testament economy was always centered around a place. And that place was Canaan land. And every time somebody was in Canaan, they were in the will of God. It was the will of God for the children of Israel to be in Canaan land. Somebody say amen. That's why it was so bad when Lot decided to lift up his eyes under the well-watered plains of Sodom. The Bible said that Abram dwelt in Canaan and Lot dwelt in the city of the plain. Abraham wasn't ready for city life. Somebody say amen. Amen. And that will, the will of God was always around a place. I want to say to you that you ain't got to travel to Israel to be in the will of God. Somebody help me right there. Thank God the will of God does not surround a place, but rather in a person. And if you're born again, it lives in your rib cage. But I still think the will of God would include a place. I still think if you're in the will of God, you'll be in a certain place. Amen. Abraham left that place. God told him to go. Here's what God says. He says, I'm going to bless you. I want you to leave where you're at to go to a place where I'll show you. And when you get there, I'm going to bless you. He promised him blessings. He said, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bless everybody around you. Leave where you're at and go to where I'm telling you. When you get there, it's going to be a blessing. And no sooner did Abraham get in the land of Canaan, but the Bible said there was a grievous famine in the land. You know what'll sidetrack you? I didn't come to entertain nobody. Look up in here. I didn't come to entertain nobody. I come to preach to you tonight. You don't know what'll sidetrack you out of the will of God quicker than anything else. It's when you're doing your dead level best to follow God. When you're doing everything you can to please Him. And nothing He said He's do that He'll do is happening. When God does not keep up with His end of a bargain. Honey, Abraham's faith was being tested. And he could not wait on God. The key to living this life is waiting on God. Amen. Amen. Went down to Egypt. I tell you what all went on down there. He lost the only best thing he ever had. Amen. He traded his precious wife for herds, cattle. Amen. Now I'm not James Dobson and hocus pocus on the family or nothing. But let me just say this. You think you're trading up, honey. There ain't nothing out there but mules and heifers. Donkeys and heifers, the only thing out there. You're better off keeping the one God gave you. Hey, you're better off keeping the one God gave you. Because the only thing other than that is donkeys and heifers. And you know what I really want to say. My wife won't let me. He got into a mess down in Egypt. Got into a mess down in Egypt, and thank God God got him out of Egypt. Amen. The Bible said that God, the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house. God went down to Egypt and got his friend out of there. Don't you notice in chapter number 13 where he comes? The Bible said that God led him by the hand out of Egypt. In verse number 4, the Bible said he went back. He went back to Bethel. Went back to the house of God. Boy, that's a good place to get back to once you've messed up. Once you've made a mistake. Once you've got out of the will of God. Ain't it funny that every time everybody gets out of the will of God, they leave the house of God? Amen. You don't know how I can tell when somebody's about to get out of the will of God when they start slipping at church. When they quit making it to Wednesday night prayer meeting. And they start missing Sunday nights. And they no longer attend Sunday school. And then before you know it, they'll come once a month on Sunday. Somebody say amen. I can tell they're getting out of the will of God when they leave the house of God. You don't know how to tell when they get back in the will of God. They'll want to come back to the house of God. When Abraham got out of Egypt, he found himself right back down there in Bethel under the place of the altar. Number 3, here's the reason to come to the altar. Here's the third reason to make a trip to the altar when there's a problem concerning our failures. Look at verse number 4. He went back unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. That's beginning to get a habit in his life, ain't it? He's back down there at that altar. The last place where he found his help was at an old-fashioned altar where he called on the name of the Lord. He got out of the will of God. He got sidetracked by some trouble. And he found himself in a mess. And God rescued him out of that trouble. And he came back to that same place. And he knelt back down at that same altar. And he did the same thing that he did when he got his help before. He called on the name of the Lord. Honey, I told you Abraham went everywhere he went. He built an altar. But that's not exactly right. He never built an altar down in Egypt. There ain't no praying going on down there. There's no camp meeting going on down there. Isn't it interesting tonight that the very first recorded song in your Bible is in Exodus chapter number 15. On the day after they came out of Egypt, on the other side of the Red Sea, the Bible said they sang the song of Moses. You know why there ain't no singing going on down in Egypt? There ain't nothing to sing about. There's no praying going on down there. Somebody say amen. He got himself out back down to the will of God, back in the house of God, knelt down at the altar of God, and he called on the name of the Lord. Amen. I like 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. Hallelujah. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. John, the beloved apostle of Christ, includes himself with a personal pronoun. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God when the fellowship's broken. Honey, this thing's all about fellowship. The fellowship of the Godhead happening inside my rib cage. But when sin comes in, that fellowship severed. He said, if we say that we sin, have walked, they say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness and lie and do not the truth. But if we'll walk in the light as He is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. Thank God when you get out in the world and mess up and make a mistake and sin, you get your fellowship broken. Abraham didn't have to get saved again. Somebody say amen right there. Why is everybody wanting to lose their salvation for? If you didn't want to go to heaven, you shouldn't have got saved. You didn't have to get saved again. David committed more. He committed broke three of the Ten Commandments. In Psalm 51, he sang about it. And he said, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." You know what he's saying? He's still, I still got it because it's eternal. But I'm just not enjoying it like I used to. Somebody say amen. You don't know what happens to somebody that gets saved by the grace of God and they backslide on God and they get out in the world and they make a mess of their life. Their salvation's still intact. They're still saved. But that fellowship is broken and they can't enjoy prayer and they can't enjoy life and they're not happy no more. The most miserable person in the world, the saved person out of the will of God. But oh, ain't you glad? Thank God you can come back to the altar. I'm glad, thank God, Abraham made his way back to the house of God. And he found himself at that old altar. I like Psalm 137. They sat by the river in Babylon and they hanged their harps in the willows. And they wept when they remembered Zion. And the Bible said they required of them was one of the songs of the Lord. And they said, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Well, I'm going to tell you how they could have done it. I'm a little upset at them old boys. Say amen right there. Amen. I'm a little upset at them. I think they should have sung. Amen. Ain't God worthy of singing? And he's still God? They might be in Babylonian captivity. But let's go back and remember why they were on those rivers in Babylon in the first place. It was because of sin. Because of sin. Because of sin. They got carried away with sin. And because of their sin, they sat there. I said they should have got that harp down out of them willows and repented of their sins and asked God to forgive them and strained up them instruments and sang the songs of Zion. Might have won some of them Babylonians to the Lord. They couldn't sing because they had sin in their life. I'll tell you something about preaching. You can fake it. Is that a news flash to anybody? Now these preachers don't want me telling all their, it's like magicians. We got secrets nobody needs to know. But I'm going to let you in on this one because I love him. Y'all been so good. Preaching, you can fake it. You can fake preaching. And I hope this don't make nobody mad. You can fake singing. Yeah. You can fake singing. You can fake praying. Public praying you can. But you can't fake joy. You can't fake it. It's either there or it ain't. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. Thank God when Abraham made his way back to the altar and he talked to God, he did business with the Lord. I don't know what all he said. It don't matter what he said. That was between him and God. It's none of my business. Somebody say amen. But I know him. If I know God, I know if he confessed his sins, he forgave him. And you know how I know? Because he said something about old Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8. And he said, by faith Abraham went out to a country not knowing where he went. He followed God. He didn't ever mention his sin. It never mentions his failure in Hebrews 11. It never talks about all of the times that in the New Testament that Abraham is mentioned. Not one time does it ever mention he was down in Egypt. You don't know why. Because God forgave him. And he said, I'll remember him no more. He'll remember him no more. He'll never bring it up. The devil may bring it up. Your family may bring it up. But God Almighty, if you'll confess it, he'll forgive you. And he'll never bring it up again. Hallelujah. It's time to go to the altar when there's a problem concerning our failures. Let me give you this last one here and I'll be done. Look at chapter number 13 and verse number 18. Verses 14 through 18. The Bible said the Lord appeared unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? It's a different sermon for a different time, but oh, Abraham had a problem with stuff and souls. Inappropriate relationship and inappropriate riches. They burned him down. Everywhere he went, got down there in Haran and got substance. Amen. God didn't call him to be rich. Called him to go. You know what got him into strife and problems, don't you? All that cattle and all that stuff they had. You know what gets us in the most of our trouble? All the stuff we got. Amen. I tell you what would be good if the stock market were to crash. Wall Street were to go under. And the dollar bill go belly up. And China invade America and say, this is our land now. We'll take our $14 trillion or we're foreclosing on sea to shining sea. What would be good? And a big old massive hurricane come along out of the West Coast. Amen. Oh yeah, like a rockladon. You're talking about El Nino, honey, make it look like a gentle breeze. And blow every church house from California to North Carolina into the Atlantic Ocean. Along with our houses and all of our stuff. Oh, that ain't a blessing, is it? Y'all don't get mad at me about that now. We got too much stuff. We got too much stuff. Stuff's what's causing strife. Stuff's what caused Abraham's strife. Lot separated. He had to separate. He had to separate. Isn't it interesting that the very first mention of separation in your King James Bible is a saved spiritual man and a saved carnal man parting ways? There's always going to be somebody in your life that don't love God as much as you do. And they're going to bring you down. Amen. After Lot was separated, the Bible said that he came to him. And he said, now lift up thine eyes. Can you see the difference between Abraham and Lot? Lot lifted up his eyes under the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham kept his head down. Until the Lord said, now lift up thine eyes. And where from where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. He said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to make you seed as the dust of the earth. Verse 17, he said, walk in it. Verse 18, the Bible said he came to the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar. And we don't know what all Abraham said there, but I think it was something having to do with his future. Number four, there's a time to make a trip to the altar when there's a praise concerning your future. Somebody say amen. Oh, Abraham said, he just knelt down there and he said, God, I'm thankful I ain't got to come to you as a criminal this time and get right with you. I'm glad I ain't got to come and confess nothing to you now. But I just want to come and say, I ain't got to ask you nothing. You've been good to me and you blessed me. I just want to kneel down here and say thank you. You don't know what a good time to come to the altar would be for you to come down here instead of just telling God what all you want. It's just blessing Him and thanking Him for everything He's done. Somebody say amen. You ought to make a trip to the altar just to say thank you. There was 10 lepers that were healed and Jesus said, where are the 9? Only this stranger hath returned to give God glory. Do you know what that Samaritan leper said that gave God glory? He just said, thank you, Lord. He fell down at His feet and cried, thank you, Lord. Just want to say thank you, Lord. Honey, sometimes it's good to come to the altar when your life ain't falling apart. Sometimes it's good to come and pray when things ain't bad, when the sky ain't filled with clouds and everything ain't going wrong. Sometimes it's good to come when things are going good and just come down to the altar and say, Lord, I just want to praise you for everything you've done. It's interesting to me that the word praise is found in the King James Bible 213 times. And over half of those, I think it was 136 times, it's found in the book of Psalms. Psalms is a book right smack dab in the middle of your Bible. The middle book in the Bible is the book of Psalms. The longest, the biggest book in the Bible is the book of Psalms. And it's a praise book. It's all about praising the Lord. Somebody say amen. That word praise ye the Lord, it means hallelujah. I like that word. It ain't hallelujah. Say amen. You need to quit watching TBN. It's hallelujah. And if you're from Alabama, it's hallelujah. I like it either way. I don't care how you say it, as long as you say it. Hallelujah. It means praise the Lord. And it's a language that it's an inner. I don't even know how to say it. I'm trying to be smart and I'm getting dumber all the time. No matter where you go, it says praise the Lord. Everybody knows what you're saying. If you was to go to China and say hallelujah, they know what you're talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what Psalm 150 says? And verse number 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Do me a favor and take one in and let it out. Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Did you know that the Bible said that God reached over the balcony of glory, took those holy hands down in the dust, not the dirt, neighbor. My kids make things out of dirt all the time. Anybody can. Amen. I used to make mud pies out of dirt. Say amen right there. You can grow maters in dirt. Amen. But it was dust. You can't do nothing with dust. There ain't nothing good with dust but sweeping it under the rug. But God reached down into the dust of the earth and scooped up a big old dust ball and leaned over and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He came alive. Man became a living soul because of the breath of God. And what you're pulling in your lungs is the very breath of God. Somebody say amen. You know the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. While you wouldn't dream of not paying your light bill, they'll cut your lights off. You wouldn't dream of not paying your house payment, they'll foreclose on you. Did you know that you've got an air bill? Honey, you owe God. You owe God an air bill. And it ain't praise just if you're a fanatic, or it's just for the preacher, or just for the singers, or just for the crazy ones that don't mind embarrassing their flesh. If you're sitting in the pew tonight and you're breathing, you owe God an air bill and He wants paid. The air bill's simple. Just thank Him. Just praise Him. And sometimes you need to come just to thank Him for what He's done for you. Time to get caught up on a praise. Time to get caught up on paying our air bill. Amen. It's time to make a trip to the altar. I'm gonna ask you to stand. Brother Mike, I don't know what you got in mind. Maybe some singers come. Get ready.